go to your Encyclopedia Britannica, or you can go on your website or your internet, and you can validate everything that Daniel says, even though Daniel says it before it took place.
Dr. Tony Evans says when it comes to Scripture, the proof is in the prophecy.
One of the reasons I know that I know that I know that I know that I knew that I know that the Bible is the Word of God is because of God's prophetic accuracy.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, and senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas. No psychic or astrologer in history has ever matched the precision of God's prophets. And today, Dr. Evans will take a detailed look at why the Bible contains the only 100% perfect predictions. Let's join him.
In between the time when Israel broke covenant with God, when they broke the Mosaic law, to the time when they will enjoy the new covenant with God, it's called the times of the Gentiles. This would be the time when Israel would be under discipline for their disobedience to God, and God would no longer work primarily through Israel to carry forth his redemptive program because of their disobedience. He won't do that until it's time for the new covenant. Between the time of their rebellion against God and the time of their restoration by God, the new covenant, there is a period of time known as the times of the Gentiles. Now, this is the time we're currently living in. This is your time and my time because virtually all of us in here are Gentiles. And to be a Gentile, all you have to be is a non-Jew, okay? Every non-Jew is a Gentile. And the times of the Gentiles is when God would work no longer with Israel because of their rebellion. And that rebellion continues today. If you go over to Israel, they don't want to hear about Jesus Christ because Jesus Christ is an irritation and an interruption to their program. Why? Because they've been blinded by their disobedience and their rejection. So God is now working with the Gentile nations. And this is his prophetic unraveling of his program. One of the reasons I know that I know that I know that I know that I knew that I know that the Bible is the Word of God is because of God's prophetic accuracy. Now, there is a book in the Bible dedicated to this period called The Times of the Gentiles. It is the book of Daniel. Now, we're going to look at a couple of dreams that took place that were interpreted by the prophet Daniel that unravels Gentile history. In fact, what Daniel's going to give you here, you can go to your Encyclopedia Britannica, or you can go on your website or your internet, and you can validate everything that Daniel says, even though Daniel says it before it took place. Why? Because prophecy is accurate, because prophecy comes from the mouth of the one who knows all. The book of Daniel was written, verse 1 of chapter 1, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. This book was written when Babylon destroyed Israel. Why did Babylon destroy Israel? Because of what Jeremiah said. The people were in rebellion against God, and God had promised, when you rebel against me, I will remove you from your land. Well, the question that the book of Daniel is seeking to ask is, why have we not yet experienced the covenantal promises of God that I've just gone over? Daniel is designed to answer the question, is there a future for Israel, and what happens while we wait? What are we supposed to do? What's going on here? Now, Daniel was a very righteous man, we're told. So that even though the nation was under discipline, he was special in the heart of God. He's about 16 years old when this book opens up and we discover him in Babylon. That's why I'm excited about these young people, because what it says is that you don't have to be old and great before you can be on fire for God. You all know the story. He was not going to be like everybody else. He wasn't going to eat the king's food, even if he had to stand alone. Now, he writes this book to explain this period of time, and all through the book, he wants you to know that God is in charge. That even though the world is falling apart, even though the Jews are no longer in their land, he wants you to know, even in judgment, God's in charge. And this is a good lesson for all of us to know. When your world is falling apart, God is still in control. He's in control of those who are following him, and he's in control of those rebelling against him, because Nebuchadnezzar, who's rebelling against him, is being used by him to discipline his people who rebelled against him, and then he's going to discipline Nebuchadnezzar for being one who was rebelling against him too. He's going to control the whole kit and caboodle. So all through this, you will see Daniel praying and affirming the sovereignty of God. Now, let's begin by looking at these two dreams. Nebuchadnezzar has a dream. He is the king of Babylon. He calls all of his magicians and say, somebody explain to me my dream. I want you to tell me what my dream was so I know you're not just making up stuff. And then I want you to tell me what my dream meant. Therefore, he wanted to destroy everybody. However, Daniel was given by God insight into the dream. The secret was revealed. Before we look at the dream and the secret, look at Daniel's response when God revealed to him the dream and the meaning of it. Verse 19 of chapter 2. Then the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Five times in this book, you'll see God called the God of heaven. Why is God called the God of heaven in Daniel? Because there's chaos on earth. And it's good to know when there's chaos on earth, there's still a God in heaven. That's why he calls him the God of heaven. Somebody sitting over the confusion that they're going through on planet earth. So he's regularly called the God of heaven. He says, let the name of God be blessed forever and ever, for wisdom and power belongs to him. And here it is, verse 21. And it is he who changes times and seasons. He removes kings and establishes kings. He gives wisdom to wise men and knowledge to men of understanding. Now, I want to point this out before we get into the dream, and that's this. Daniel is a young man. He comes to God for something he doesn't understand, and God gives him insight or wisdom. And when God gives it to him, he goes back to God in praise and adoration. When you go to God to give you insight, power, deliverance, wisdom, don't forget to thank him when he gives it to you so that you remember it came from the God of heaven. Well, the king's dream is explained to us in chapter 2, verse 31. Daniel recites the king what he dreamt. He said, King, you were looking, and there was a great statue, and there was large with extraordinary splendor standing in front of you, and its appearance was awesome. So it's this big statue that you've been dreaming about. The head was made of fine gold, breast and arms made of silver, belly and thigh made of bronze, legs made of iron, its feet partly of iron and partly of clay. You continued looking until a stone was cut out without hands, and it struck the statue on its feet of iron and clay and crushed it. Then the iron and the clay and the bronze and the silver and the gold were crushed all at the same time and became like chaff that easily blown by the wind on the threshing floor, and the wind carried it so that not a trace of them may be found. But the stone that struck the statue became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. All right, here's what we've got. The king has been dreaming, and every night when he tries to go to sleep, this big statue comes up in his dream, a vision. And the head is made of gold, and the top part of the torso is made of silver. And the next part down around the stomach and the legs, they're made of bronze. And then the legs are made of iron with 10 toes, and mixed in the 10 toes is clay. Well, the king can't understand this, because Daniel couldn't understand it until God revealed it to him. Then God reveals to Daniel this dream. Now, let me say, I'll put a parenthesis in here before we go into the interpretation of the dream. This is Nebuchadnezzar's dream, and his dream is going to be of a splendid statue. Daniel, in chapter 7, we're going to get to it in a moment, is going to have the same content dream. Excuse me, not the same content. It will have the same meaning, but it will be a dream of beast. But it will mean the same thing that the dream of the statue meant. Now, why is that important to know? Because when Nebuchadnezzar dreams it, it's splendid and awesome and something to be worshipped. When God lets Daniel see it, it's a beast needing to be destroyed. What's the point? It all depends on who's looking. It all depends on who's looking. Everything that looked good isn't. Everything that looks acceptable isn't. You have to know what's inside. And God says inside that statue is a horror. But let's get to the interpretation real quick here. He now begins to explain what the dream means. Verse 36. This is now the dream, Nebuchadnezzar. I will tell you the interpretation. You, king, are the King of Kings, to whom God of heaven has given the kingdom, the power, the strength, and the glory. And wherever the sons of men dwell, or beasts of the field, or birds of the sky, he has given them under your hand, and he has caused you to rule over them. You are the head of gold. Okay. In the statue was a head. The head was made of gold. Gold was the most expensive of the natural resources. And he says, the gold head is you. Who is you? Nebuchadnezzar. Who is Nebuchadnezzar? He's the king of Babylon. So Babylon, current day Iraq is Babylon. Babylon is established as the world power that is now operating at the time of this prophecy. Down below the chest area, he now interprets it. Verse 39. After you will arise another kingdom inferior to you, because silver is inferior to gold. It will be inferior to you, then a third kingdom of bronze, which will rule over all the earth. He says, after you, it's going to come another kingdom. What's the other kingdom? Well, we know what it is. If you look in your history books, you'll find that Babylon was destroyed by the Medo-Persia Empire. Then there was a third kingdom. The third kingdom was Greece. Greece destroyed the Medo-Persian Empire. Then he quickly goes over those, but then he comes to this fourth empire. Verse 40. Then there will be a fourth kingdom, because the parts of the body represents different kingdoms, as strong as iron. That's why in his dream, the legs were made of iron. Inasmuch as iron crushes and shatters all things. Well, let me tell you what happened. In 63 AD, a nation called Rome destroyed Greece and literally crushed it. But it not only crushed Greece, it crushed the whole then known world. If you know your history, you know that Rome destroyed its nations by military might. So that like iron breaks in pieces, it will crush and break all these in pieces. And in that you saw the feet and toes, partly of potter's clay and partly of iron, it will be a divided kingdom. But it will have in the toughness of the iron, inasmuch as you saw iron mixed with common clay. And as the toes of the feet were partly of iron and partly of pottery, so some of the kingdom will be strong and part of it will be brittle. In that you saw the iron mixed with common clay, they will combine with one another in the seed of men, but they will not adhere to one another. They won't stick together, even as iron does not combine with pottery.
Well, Dr. Evans will come back in a moment with more on what the Bible said in advance about the fall of Rome. Sometimes when we look at what the Bible has to say about the future, we come away feeling confused and concerned. But Dr. Evans says the end of the story is full of good news if we understand what it really means. That's why he wrote the book, The Best is Yet to Come. It answers your questions about prophecy and the future and helps you use that knowledge to shape your life today. And don't forget to check into getting a copy of Dr. Evans' most personal book, Oneness Embraced. It explains why unity among Christians of all kinds isn't just about getting along, but about getting things done in our hearts, in our churches, and in our communities. You can get information on these and all of our resources by visiting us online at tonyevans.org. Our resource request line is also open 24/7 to help you. The number is 1-800-800-3222. And I'll repeat that information right after this word from Dr. Evans.
You know, radio is the bread and butter of this ministry. We're on over 500 stations every day giving out God's truth, and we're happy to be on this station right now giving it to you. And I hope that the Holy Spirit is using it to change your life. If God is using our message to enhance you, to grow you, and to deepen you with Him, would you remember the ministry of the Urban Alternative? You know, salvation is free, but ministry costs. It costs us to do what we do with staff and equipment and material and time and all of that. Would you be a blessing to the ministry of the Urban Alternative? We need you. These are tough times, difficult times. And so would you come alongside of us so that we can keep the word of God in your life? God bless you.
Let Dr. Evans know he can count on your help. Give us a call today at 1-800-800-3222 or make your contribution online at tonyevans.org. Right now, though, here's Dr. Evans with more of today's lesson.
Babylon will be defeated by Medo-Persia. Medo-Persia will be defeated by Greece. Greece will be defeated by Rome, which any encyclopedia will tell you, okay? Rome defeated like iron because it crushes. He says the thing that will mark the Roman Empire is 10 toes. That is, the nation is going to be splintered. In between the toes will be clay, which cannot be bonded with the toes. In other words, this problem will not be able to be fixed. It will be split up by the substance that it cannot mingle with. Well, any of you who study history and know about the Roman Empire knows that it was both strong and weak. In fact, nobody could destroy Rome militarily, so that's why they destroyed it from the inside out. Now, the Roman Empire would be split up. If you know world history, you know that the Roman Empire, when it was broken down, became what you and I know as Europe. The Roman Empire is simply Europe. That's basically what it is. It is Europe splintered up. That's what the Roman Empire is, because it could not maintain its hold on the whole Middle East and the whole of Europe. So it splintered up. Now, verse 44. And in the days of those kings, the king of the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which will never be destroyed, and that kingdom will not be left for another people. It will crush and put an end to all of these kingdoms, but it in itself will endure forever. Inasmuch as you saw a stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and it will be crushed. It will crush the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold. The great God has made known to the king what will take place in the future, so the dream is true and its interpretation is trustworthy. The Roman Empire is going to be splintered. Sometime in the future, after the splintering of the Roman Empire, Europe, a stone will be cut out of the mountain without hands, that means from God, no human hands, that will come and take over all the kingdoms of the world. And of course, that's the rule of Jesus Christ when he comes to set up his millennial kingdom. In fact, Jesus Christ throughout scripture is called the stone. He's called the cornerstone. He's called the rock of offense. He is called the stone. He is the stone. And in the dream, he says the stone will become a mountain. And in the Bible, a mountain is always a kingdom. So Jesus Christ came as the stone, but he's going to create a mountain. And he's going to run the whole earth. And all of the kingdoms of men will come under his authority. Now, why does he name just four kingdoms? You know, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and Rome. He doesn't name Russia or the United States or, you know, all these other. Because he's only naming those kingdoms that relate directly to controlling the land of Israel. And the only reason he only names those kingdoms is because it's the land of Israel that's going to be the centerpiece, and everybody else is going to relate to that land. So he's only relating to the nations that will control the land of Israel. And each one of these nations, when they took over, controlled Israel, which is why in the New Testament, Israel is subject to who? Rome. When you read the Gospels, it's Caesar. That's the big issue. And it's just prophecy unfolding, named in a time when none of this had happened yet, except that Babylon is on the scene. Now, turn to chapter 7. Where we see a second vision that has the same issue of the first, but this time it's God giving Daniel his perspective of the vision. Chapter 7 of the book of Daniel. Let's look at it. Daniel in verse 2 says, I was looking in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven were stirring up the great sea. Anybody know what the great sea is? Wherever you read the great sea in the Bible, it's talking about the Mediterranean Sea. The Mediterranean Sea, of course, is over in the Middle East. It is called in the Bible the Great Sea. He says that the four winds of heaven were stirring up the Great Sea. Now, whenever you have the four winds of heaven stirring up anything, okay, what you have is the angels of God addressing the wickedness of men. Whenever the four seas are stirring up stuff, look at Revelation chapter 7, verse 1. Revelation chapter 7, verse 1. Here's what he says. After this, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding back the four winds of the earth so that no wind should blow on the earth or on the sea or on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the rising of the sun, having the seal of the living God. And he cried out with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was granted to harm the earth and the sea, saying, do not harm the earth or the sea or the trees until we have sealed the bondservants of our God on their forehead. So what you have in the book of Revelation, which corresponds to the book of Daniel. Daniel in the Old Testament is fulfilled by Revelation in the New Testament. What you have is the angels of God addressing the Gentile rulers and the wicked Gentile nations. He says, and I saw four great beasts, verse 3, coming up from the sea, coming up from the Middle East, Mediterranean area, different from one another. Nebuchadnezzar saw a statue. Daniel sees a beast. The first beast, he says, was like a lion and had the wings of an eagle. I kept looking until its wings were plucked, and it was lifted up from the ground and made to stand on 2 feet like a man. A human mind also was given to it. There's a whole lot. I could do a whole lesson on this one beast. The first beast is Babylon. He's like a lion. Now, what's the lion? King of the jungle. He's the king of the beast. What is an eagle? Eagle is the king of the air. Babylon, he says, is a lion with eagle's wings. In the scripture, Babylon is called a lion and an eagle. King of the land, king of the sky. That is total domination. That's what Babylon had under King Nebuchadnezzar. Total domination. For 67 years, he controlled what was then viewed as the whole earth. That's why in the first picture we said that Nebuchadnezzar was the king of the ground, and he says, you have all of the birds of the air. In other words, you're running everything. So he's a lion, king on the land. He's got eagle's wing, king in the air. He's just king. And guess what? He started looking at himself that way. He said to the three Hebrew boys, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, you better bow down to me and listen to what he said. Or which God is there who can deliver you out of my hand? Don't you know who you're dealing with here? You're dealing with God. Nobody can be more God than I am God. So he got into his head. He was the lion and the eagle. Well, guess what? This beast, according to verse 4, had his wings plucked. While Nebuchadnezzar was on his rooftop boasting about his own glory, his hair started to grow long. His fingernails started to grow out. Hair came all off him, on his body. His back crouched over. And the scripture says for 7 years, he climbed on the ground in insanity. And that's a good lesson for everybody in this room who has a Theo ego. That's a God complex. Whenever you get so big you don't need God, get ready, sanitarium, because you're going to lose your natural mind. Because God is in control. That's what he said earlier. God sets up kings. God takes down kings. You're only what God lets you be. And so if you get to be something this year that you weren't last year, you better look up and give thanks. Rather than saying it's by my power or by my authority I made this.
Dr. Tony Evans with insight on the prophecies of Daniel. Now, if you'd like to discover more about what God has to say about the future, you can get audio or video copies of all 16 messages in our current 2-volume series called Prophecy, God's Eternal Drama. The set includes messages we won't have time to present on the air. Today's lesson is a part of that package, but to obtain it on an individual CD or DVD, ask about the title Prophecy and Gentiles. All the details are waiting for you online at tonyevans.org. Or let one of our staff members help you by calling us day or night at 1-800-800-3222. Well, the stage is being set for the return of Christ. And on Monday, Dr. Evans shows us more about how current events confirm the prophecies of the Bible. Be sure to join us. The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative, rebuilding lives from the inside out.